Okay, welcome back to another episode of Mormon Expression. I'm your host, John Larson. And today is a very special day. 1 year ago today is when we started the podcast. So this is our anniversary show, and I've brought back most of the key players who helped start this podcast so we can kind of do a little soul searching and a little reflexive thinking. First of all, here at my side is the one and only Zilpha. Hi, Zilpha.
Hello. I guess there's only one thing that I want to say to start out. I wasn't participating in the first few podcasts, probably the first two.
Why don't we come back?
Well, you paused. I thought you wanted me to say something.
No, I was just wondering what would happen if I paused. we also have the one and only Tom bringing it home from Zion, from the UC.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
And all the way from the homeland, from Norway, we have Niall. Hi, Niall.
Hey, guys, it's great to be here.
And bringing in for the left coast, or the left coast,
when you look at a map,
is the one and only George. Hi, George.
Hey, everybody. Good to be here.
Now, it's actually been about 14 months since we first started working the podcast. It started when I posted out there on a couple of the boards a call for participants, and you all answered. And there's one other, of course, and that's the one and only Jim, who couldn't be with us this afternoon. So that's how the podcast got started. It was born on the boards.
Yeah, it was always interesting to see how the thing came to pass. I know there were two or three other groups that tried to start podcasts, and I was part of a couple of smaller groups that tried to get things going, but you were able to actually pull it off, get the right people, and kind of get the drive around it. So it was really neat to see how it got formed and
got put together. Yeah, I never really knew for sure if it would work. And I think, if I remember right, I insisted that we record three of them before we went live with them. But we did one or two, and I thought they were good enough, so I went ahead and posted them. But by that time, I'd already bought the URL and set up the domain and done all that kind of stuff. So I thought, oh, what the hell, and I just went ahead and posted it. And the first couple were all of us, just the panel. Now, Zilpha, you didn't come on for the first three or four, right?
I think it was the first two. The first one was about, what was it? Why can't you leave the church alone after you? Isn't that what the first one was?
Yeah, leaving the church but not leaving it alone. Yeah, I think so.
And then I think the next one was the difference between the online Mormons or the
Dr. Shades one. Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Shades was our first guest on episode.
That was a fantastic one. We got to have him back.
He has been back at least, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think
so. He's yeah. Feedback or something.
No, subject though. I mean, I remember the feedback one, but I want to deal with that subject again. And also Chris. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we had Chris Smith, not too long, where we talked about the Book of Abraham. Those were our first three or four episodes.
And then what the three things you missed about the church. I think that's the first one I did.
Yeah.
So, Zilpha, did you originally plan on participating? Did John ask you to come on, or did you just kind of tell him you were coming on?
No, he asked me if I wanted to participate, and I wasn't sure because, you know, you guys all kind of knew each other from the boards. I had never really gone on the boards, so I felt like I might not have anything to say, or I might not, you know, I didn't know if it would really be up my alley. And so he would tell me what the podcasts were going to be about, and then if I was interested, I would say, okay, that sounds good. I'd like to participate in that one. So that's kind of how it's gone.
That sounds amazing, Zilpha, because not knowing whether this was going to be up your alley or not, having now had you on for as many months, this is so up your alley.
Well, I don't know about that, but it is fun.
Well, the way it comes across, the way it comes across listening to you, it's a good fit. And so it's kind of amazing. It's one of those things that you didn't even know that would come off. It, in my mind, it's come off really well.
Thanks.
Well, so yep. I have a question for you, Zilpha. I mean, when John was originally telling you that he wanted to start this project, were you enamored with the idea? Were you like, yeah, John, you should do it. That'd be great.
No, well, honestly, I was skeptical that he would actually go through with it because he has lots of good ideas and he doesn't always finish them. So, you know, I just thought it'd be one of those that he started and wouldn't finish.
John have the ADD?
Kind of.
And he only mows half the lawn then?
I usually have to finish it for him.
He mows it, but doesn't edge it. That's what it is.
So I had my doubts that he would actually accomplish much with it. And then when, I saw him doing it, and I saw how good he was at it, and listened to you guys, and it was interesting. So then I thought, well, he's really got something here.
Now I haven't gone back and listened to any of the shows actually after I've edited them. I don't think I would like to. I don't think I'd like to go back and listen to the first ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we've come that far then? I guess as far as production quality.
It's come some ways, I suppose. I mean, that far implies that we're that much better, but I don't know if that's the case. But I don't know.
I remember at first how embarrassed both he and I were. I don't know how you guys felt by hearing our own voices at first. It was very. You know, I'd laugh because it was just kind of embarrassing hearing my own voice. Did you guys feel like that?
Oh, yeah. Thoroughly embarrassing, I thought. And you always have that thought in your mind like, well, I can't possibly sound like that. Not in real life. And then you're thinking, and other people are listening to this too. Yeah, that plays with you a little bit.
Right.
I did not have that problem. I couldn't get enough of hearing myself talk.
So Niall, when you're on the podcast, do you also have a mirror that you stare into as well?
I always have a mirror with me.
I always just keep a picture of Niall up on the wall in front of me. I have a mirror, a picture of Niall, and so I just keep his face in my mind, and everything goes well after that. So.
That works for everybody. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Yep. Doesn't matter what you're trying to get done. My face helps everything. Remember to keep the candles lit.
I want a picture of your feet now that you've been running barefoot for a few months.
My feet are beautiful.
You know, you get over listening to your own voice pretty quick, especially, you know, I've done most of the editing, so I've had to listen to most of them. So that's not an issue. The issue comes for me is listening to the things you should have asked or you should have said a different way. You know, we still record these fairly spontaneously. There's not a whole lot of preparation that goes into most. And I kind of do that purposefully to keep the conversation a little bit more lively and organic. So, you know, it's easy to criticize the podcast, and rightfully so. Sometimes we don't ask obvious questions that are follow-ups. But you know, it's, you don't always think of that stuff in the moment.
Yeah, the second guessing Monday morning quarterbacking is a constant thing that I deal with too. Yeah, I agree.
So that's probably the more difficult than just listening to your own voice. And then you have to get used to your own verbal crutches and all that sort of stuff. You know, none of us are professional broadcasters, and I think that shows.
Yeah.
Now, Niall, speaking of you, you have sort of come and gone. You've disappeared from the podcast and resurfaced from time to time. So what's up with that?
Well, when I signed up for the podcast, I was here in Norway, and by the time we started recording actual episodes, I was back in Utah for immigration paperwork kind of thing. And then, in January or so, I came back to Norway. So the times that we were recording went from, you know, nice little evening times, everybody's in bed, to being 3 a.m. And I think it's just sort of been a lot harder for me to get on there. And then when I'm on there, it's a lot harder for me to be chipper. That's the first part. The second part is sometime several months ago, I was beginning to question my place on the podcast. I listened to the feedback episode about anyway, you guys were talking about me. You know, and it turns out I didn't realize it, but I was the resident ex-Mormon. You know, the token ex-Mormon, angry ex-Mormon. And I really, really didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that angry towards the church. But you know, everybody on the panel was just convinced that I was. And so I was really feeling, I don't know.
Misunderstood.
Disquiet. Well, what am I bringing to the podcast? What am I offering to the podcast? And is it, you know, if it's something so off base as to what I thought I was doing, it really made me reconsider staying on the podcast. And I actually was actually really considering leaving. And I think I did write a letter to John,
yeah,
essentially explaining this.
Yeah,
and
did.
He just you know he really kind of talked me down from the ledge, as it were, letting me know that you know the Lord doesn't call us to run faster than we have strength. You know, I don't have to
John
be on every podcast,
that?
But I can be on the ones where I feel like I can contribute. That actually set it up for me, so that I felt like, you know, we find these niches in life where we didn't really intend to find these niches. And if I'm the ex-Mormon, there's a lot of ex-Mormon people out there who are very angry and very freshly wounded. And, you know, if I'm a voice for them, or if I ask stupid, angry questions that, you know, we've all had to wait for so long to ask for, then, you know what, that's a good place to be. And, you know, since then I've really mentally been trying to fill that role.
So when you when you first started on the podcast, you'd only been out of the church for like 8 months or so, wasn't it? You were pretty fresh.
It was a month or two at the most.
Oh yeah.
From the time I got the answer letter back from when I resigned. So I mean, it was within 3 months, I think, 3-4 months. Because I've only now been out of the church for 16, 17, 18 months, something like that.
So you were fresh, and if I remember correctly, you were pretty angry at first during that time.
I actually don't think he was that angry.
He seemed, I mean,
he was more animated, and especially in the early podcast with Mike, Niall and Mike would argue at it sometimes. I think you bring up a really good point, Niall, one that I want to sort of underline, and that's the role of stereotypes. And it's something we're constantly battling against, these assumptive stereotypes that everybody likes to pigeonhole all sorts of Mormons into. And I think you're right, that we start taking you as the, you know, the sort of the voice of the ex-Mormon, and then putting that on top of you. But in reality, every human being is more complicated than anti-Mormon, pro-Mormon, TBM, you know, New Order Mormon. All those labels are really hogwash. And it's been a difficult thing in the perception of this podcast, is people just try to pigeonhole us all the time. And, you know, I think we try to avoid that, but we even get involved in that ourselves.
Yeah, you know, but I agree with that. But I think there is that voice still, that raw nerve that sometimes I feel like the podcast is making a conscious decision to ignore, to try to increase our validity to the Mormons. And I felt that was probably a mistake.
I think you're right. I think the podcast tends to skew towards the Mormon view. And I think there are probably a million jaws hitting the floor right now if they heard me say that. We give over deference to the church and the mainstream church position. I think there's a lot of times that I have to bite my lip. I think part
of it. But that's the point is I don't. I mean, people sort of expect Niall to forget his medication and go off on somebody. So that's good. You can bite your tongue and I'll say really dumb things. I like the arrangement.
I've said probably more dumb things than you have, Niall. So.
Well, I think John, also you, over time you've become more, you've allowed yourself to express your doubts and your disaffection a little bit more as time has gone by. I think at first you were very careful.
Well, to me, that's not the venue. There's so many things out there for expressing the common, post-Mormon arguments, the common arguments against the church. And some of them are so trite and so overdone that the last thing the world needs is just another voice for that. So I've always been more interested in exploring the ground between the two poles. Not that the two poles aren't there and the two poles aren't rhetorically strong, but what about all that stuff in the middle?
I think stomping around in the middle is fine, but you can't forget the other side of the pond.
I think there's been a place, a voice for both sides at varying times. Like maybe not each podcast has a strong representation from both sides, but I think overall it plays pretty evenly.
I wonder sometimes how our listeners. This would be great feedback if we could get some feedback from them on this directly, is how do they expect us to, in our voices and in our, you know, do they expect Niall to take a certain tack? Do they expect Tom to take a certain tack, or me, or Mike, any of us? And are they disappointed when that happens? I remember back to the podcast that Tom put together where he had the debate between Niall and I switched roles, and how that kind of threw people off because Niall was being the apologist, and then at the end when, you know, after the thing was done, Niall showed it, you know, came out and said, oh man, that was so tough. You know, that seemed to be back, it pigeonholed him, and it'd be interesting to hear what our listeners think of whether they expect that from us or whether they expect us to kind of let the guests speak and we're just facilitators.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. You also have to remember, you know, after watching a lot of the feedback and getting feedback myself, that the listeners are not a monolithic group. There is this small but vocal contingency that really likes blood on the floor. They really like the when it gets scrappy. There's another contingency that likes our more straightforward podcast. I can tell you that the podcast, if you look at the comments on the board, like if you go to Mormon Expression and look at the comments, and the more controversial podcast will get more comments, but oftentimes the less controversial ones will have more downloads. So you can't judge the necessary popularity of a particular podcast by how much people argue on the boards. And we tend to get the same group. Not that they're not a wonderful group that comments out there. It's just not as broad as the listenership. You know, for every one person commenting on the board, you know, we have another 100 that don't ever say anything. So my only point is that I think there's some that like the one type. There's others that like the other type. That brings up another point. We started out with just the first couple of podcasts were just the you know, the Jim, George, Niall, Tom, and myself. Zilpha came on in episode 4. So since then, we brought on some more panelists, and it's always been trying to bring new voices in. Of course, the first one we brought in and the most controversial one yet is still Mike. Now, I don't want to.
I'll get him beat one of these days.
I don't want to turn this into a mic beating session, but I'll kick off the discussion on Mike by saying I really like Mike. Mike is a sincere guy, and I think every ward that I've ever been in, there are lots of Mikes in those wards. Mike has no problem getting on and telling people who are, say, homosexuals that they are self-delusional and sinful. I think the churches are full of people like that. but I think Mike sometimes talks about his own things, like his whole doctrine of names, that I wish he would stay more on the main Mormon focus. And this is something he and I have talked about. I'm not dropping any surprises to him on the podcast here.
Yeah, I just think that I guess it kind of goes back to that bonus episode that you'd released. But just to go back to that bonus episode, it talks about Mike and being a little authoritative. You know, I like that he has an opinion, and I love the fact that he's willing to share it the way he shares it. Just sometimes it might come across a little homophobic. It might come a little sexist. That's a little worrisome. I just worry I worry about his perception that he comes across, sometimes a little, I don't know, homophobic or sexist.
Yeah, but
isn't he?
Isn't the church homophobic and sexist?
Yeah, that would be my response. Was that John said, that's representative of the membership of the church.
Well, yeah, but I guess the church does come across that way to a degree. But if you were to ask the church leadership, does your church, is it homophobic at its core? And they'd say no.
Well, of course they'd say that.
Well, Mike is what you get when you got clay and you put it through the Chapel Mormon fire, and he takes everything that's given to him, and he doesn't reject based on what he wants. He internalizes everything. Mike is, I think, the living embodiment of the Mormon church as it's taught. This is not the man who's tried to make it work in reality. This is the man who tried to make reality work for it. And so, well, yeah, it comes across really weird because the church as taught in Chapel Mormonism, and not when you've got the suits being politicians, that's what it actually is, in my opinion.
Well, I wouldn't say that he takes, a complete literal. He doesn't represent what the church is, just because some of the things that he does believe in literally, a lot of Mormons don't. A lot of Mormons don't. So when John has said, Mike, I think your voice is a little right of center, that's pretty much the way I see it. He's not exactly right down the middle as far as Mormons go. I mean, he does have some ideas that even most normal TBM Mormons would be like, oh, Mike.
The doctrine of names being the prime example there.
But if you go into any ward in the United States, you're going to find plenty of people in that ward who are right of Mike.
That's true. So
he's a little right of center, but all the wards have people who are pretty far, even further than Mike. So we've also brought on, since then, as appearing as kind of a panelist, Bridget, who of course is interesting in that she's married to a Mormon, went to BYU, knows a lot about church history, but she's an evangelical.
She's not a Mormon. Wow.
Not a Mormon at all. And then Glenn, who's another sort of mamby-pamby liberal Mormon like the rest of you guys.
Mamby-pamby.
And, one thing I want to mention.
Spineless noms.
Is I've gotten several people actually who've reached out to me saying, hey, Mormons aren't like Mike. You can have a nice liberal view and da da da, and I'd be happy to come on the podcast. And I enjoy talking to people like that, but there seems to be a wealth of them. The finding conservative, like, Chapel Mormons willing to come onto a venue like this, it's hard to find people. And Mike does it so well. Obviously he it can be offensive in what he says, but he doesn't take any, he doesn't mean any offense by it. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but he means it in,
exactly the way the church teaches you to mean it in loving concern. You're a freak, but I love you.
Right.
I think he is trying to do it in a sincere, loving way. I agree with you. And when he says, when he takes those homophobic kind of approaches, I cringe. Because he doesn't understand, I guess he doesn't understand that, while he's trying to be sincere and trying to be loving, he's actually taking, quite a bit, or he's hurting a lot of people's feelings.
He's rubbing salt in their wounds.
Yeah, so is the church.
He does come across as a homophobic jerk, but I think that his intentions are good, so.
But doesn't that happen? Isn't the rubbing of the salt in their wounds happen in a normal weekly or semi-annual basis for a lot of people who do have open wounds, and then they try and listen to a general conference talk, or they listen to a state president talk or something like that. How is that different?
Only because in my experience, you will find some church leaders that take more of a homophobic approach, but then there's lots that you know, be like, well, I don't think Prop 8 was such a good thing. I think that our homosexual brothers and sisters should be loved rather than discarded. So, you know, that view, as even though the church has taken a pretty strong stance against Prop 8 and all that stuff, there's still quite a bit of division inside the church believing membership. So it's hard to say.
All right. In the year or so that we've done this, what have been the biggest surprises for you all? Anything?
John DeLynn coming back as a podcaster.
Oh, yeah.
Something completely unrelated with our podcast.
Yeah. He appeared, let's see. We had an interview with him that was just about him, and we sort of caught up on where he was with his podcast. Now, he had Mormon Stories, and I think he went on hiatus either in 06 or 07. It had been a couple years. And then he came on the second discussion of the stages of faith. And then after that is when he relaunched Mormon Stories. What did you find surprising about that, George?
I with as much vigor as he left it, and the reasons that he left it, and even some of the reasoning that he had when he came on and was interviewed by us, I heard the openness of coming back, but then the fact that he actually did it, and then the manner, and just some of those things, I welcomed it, but I did not expect to see that dynamic enter in, and I don't know how much an effect it had on us. I know there's been some impact between the two, but that was a surprise as a podcasting group of people to have another voice in the community. I was a little bit surprised. I wasn't flummoxed. I wasn't upset. I wasn't anything, but as a surprise, that was one of the bigger ones that happened to me since we started up a year ago. I mean, there's others, but that was the first one that came to my mind.
Hey, John, can I say something offensive?
Sure.
That I know a lot of people are thinking, but everybody's just too polite to say it. The man's got a blazing ego.
Well, I mean,
he just can't stand to. He can't just cannot stand to not be, that forefront, that voice, the voice of open-minded Mormonism.
Well, I think there's a certain arrogance involved in any of us that would record our voices and then push it out there to.
But he's not us, though. he's old school. He's old news. He needs to move on with his life. And you know, when we die and leave a rotting corpse for 3 years, then maybe the next people can call us arrogant when we copy them and try to get some of the limelight back.
I think he provides a service that we don't provide or don't pretend to provide. And that's that he is trying to help people stay in the church who are struggling with that. I don't give a rat's ass if people stay in the church or leave. And that's the key difference, right? I want people to find their own happiness. I want people.
Then what about the timing?
It probably just reminded him how much he enjoyed it when he did it. He probably just got kind of a hankering to do it again.
And I've been absolutely clear that the fact that he did Mormon Stories was an inspiration for me doing this one. So if it was the fact that we started broadcasting these again that inspired him to go back to it. Well, I mean, that's what inspired us to do ours in the first place, because he had done Mormon Stories. So, I mean, that's not necessarily a problem. I know that there's a lot of people who reach out to John DeLynn, and John DeLynn provides that sort of safety net for people. And that's the goal of Mormon Stories, is to provide these other stories, because the church squelches, the expression of differences. You know, you really want to toe the party line.
Why? If the church doesn't resemble even a shell of what it's been taught to be, why? I just don't understand why you keep it.
Because
don't leave the church. Whatever you do, don't leave the church. Don't leave the church. Don't leave the church. You don't have to leave the church. Okay, none of it's true. It's all made up. But don't leave the church. It's
well,
like
he gets
like,
enough good out of it, and hopes that other people do too. That it's worth hanging on to. That's his, I think.
And now you and I both know that leaving the church is very difficult, and the impact on your life.
Yeah, but it's healthy. It's healthy.
To leave the church?
Staying, well, when people throw these fits about people leaving the church and not leaving alone, the ex-Mormons who will complain about it. What about the ones who leave the church in their mind and they never leave the church? And it just sits in there like this, a splinter that turns all green and pussy. I just don't think that's healthy. I don't think that's healthy.
I think,
if you're in a relationship where you can't be yourself, that's not healthy. You've got to try to be healthy.
I kind of agree with you there, but at the same time, they might not have much of another choice. I mean, if it comes down to staying in the church and keeping their marriage, and if it's that one splinter in their marriage that's festering, but everything else it seems to be okay.
That's just, to me, it blows my mind that somebody could just throw themselves on these spikes, these like mental spikes, these emotional spikes, commit hari kari for something they don't even believe in.
Well,
I mean, because when you do that, when you cast everything aside and you destroy your own self-identity to save what? Your self-identity?
Every situation is different. Every single person's in a different circumstance and different situation. And I'm glad, Niall, that you were able to leave, and John and Zilpha, you know, and just not everybody's situation can accommodate that kind of thing. And maybe that's where John DeLynn was. I don't know. But
well, yeah, but you're talking in terms of less than perfect. You're in a less than perfect situation, so you're going to make the best of the thing. Would you ever get on and start a podcast about holding up as an ideal this less of perfect thing?
But everything's
my podcast
less than
is about
perfect.
Saving your relationship. My podcast is about destroying your identity a little bit more so that you can save your relationship. I feel like the ideal should be the healthy thing, to leave it if you want to leave it, stay if you want to stay.
Very true, but personally, I just don't want to be on a podcast talking about another podcast. I'd rather talk about our podcast.
All right.
Unless I be understood, misunderstood, I want as many Mormon podcasts out there as we can get.
Yep.
That's just how I feel about that particular one.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair enough. I mean, poor John takes it from all sides because the mainstream LDS doesn't agree with what he's doing, nor to the the ex-Mormons. So you know, he takes a lot of heat all the time. We don't take that much. We just get ignored. So you know, kudos to him for taking all that mental abuse.
Yeah.
So has there been any sort of feedback or responses that you guys have found disturbing or have made you think or reflect on what you're doing here?
Well, Niall already mentioned his
– yeah,
how his reflection wasn't what he thought it was.
I think it's interesting that each of us started this podcast, I guess with the exception of you guys, you, John, and Zilpha. That we're still, well, I guess all of us are still on some sort of spiritual journey, unless you don't subscribe into that anymore. But I think it's interesting for me that, my spiritual journey, seemed like it, I was heading towards one way, and then the podcast, inadvertently or not, is kind of, through some weird, twists and turns into my journey. So I think overall I enjoy it, but it has been interesting to see that, some of the consequences of being on. I think that's kind of interesting.
Do you want to elaborate at all? I mean, I know you don't want to get specific, but.
My participation in the podcast has been difficult. And I know that I'm not really saying too much new as far as, John and some of the other guys, but, I've thought about, I don't know, lessening my voice, lessening my participation because, some of my close friends or family have picked up on the podcast and and sometimes what I say or what has been said is very troublesome or bothers them and their testimonies or whatever. So, you know, it's a fun discussion that we have, and I personally really thoroughly enjoy it, but it kind of sucks when you put the microphone down and then you have to deal with your life, and then sometimes what you do on the podcast makes ripples into your real life.
Tom, I've got a question for you on that. So I think I've been pretty straight up since we started that I go under a pseudonym. George isn't my real name. It's actually my middle name. Well, it's my middle name, but I don't come out with my first name. And right. So I've kind of had that anonymity out there, and I'm thinking about, you know, going a little bit more public with who I am. Do you wish now after a year that you had gone with more of the anonymity and used some other name?
It was kind of that way at first when I just went with the name Tom. And once I put my last name out there, Tom Perry, it didn't really change much, because a lot of my, like my wife or some of my family or my friends, would pick up, you know, they'd be like, "Hey, so can you come hang out with us tonight?" And I'd say, "Well, I got to do a recording or something like that." And they're like, "What is that?" And so they would pick it up and then of course they'd follow me. And then, of course, months later, they'd be like, "Hey, so I listened to episode such and such. What the hell was all that about? And, I've never heard of it. You know, X, Y, and Z, or I didn't know you believe or didn't believe, or blah blah blah." And it kind of makes ripples. Do I wish that I was anonymous? No, because, you know, I admire what John has done by putting his name out there, and even with John DeLand or anybody that puts their name out there. I mean, it empowers them. It puts a person to the voice. And so I've always wanted to do that. And I guess I kind of regret it, but I don't know. I like to take a little bit of ownership in what I say, I guess.
Yeah, that's good input for me. Thanks. I'm still vacillating back and forth. And so that's good input. Thanks.
You know, every so often you'll hear somebody, usually from inside the church, say, you know, "Why don't you guys just leave the church?" Or the from our first episode, why do ex-Mormons leave the church but not leave it alone? If you grew up in the church and your family's in the church, it is impossible to disentangle yourself from the church. Absolutely impossible. You can't do it. The only way you could do it is to completely abandon everybody you know and love, abandon your whole history, and go to like Panama and try to start over completely. Otherwise, it can't be done. So I think you bring up a really good point, but what we're really doing with the podcast is we're just amplifying that normal situation that New Order Mormons or ex-Mormons run into all the time, which is once you leave the main rails of Mormonism, you're forever going to be clashing with Mormons around you. I've been through some job interviews, and you know, my resume has on there that I went to Brigham Young University. Luckily, it's been enough years now that the gap on permission doesn't show up anymore. But you never know how to react to that. You never know, because you hear, "Oh, BYU," and there could be a million things going through their mind, but you can't react to it. You can't assume anything. So it just, everything about that church relationship impacts so many aspects of our lives, and we just can't get away from that. That's one of the reasons some ex-Mormons stay so angry. I know some of the most angry ex-Mormons I know, in their personal lives. They might be married to somebody who's a very true believer, or their parents are mission presidents or something. And it's how they're expressing that emotional distress they have over the leaving and that ongoing cognitive dissonance that even they carry because of their, maybe more like an emotional dissonance, we should say.
Because they can't get away from it. And so it keeps bringing up emotional turmoil.
And even if they could get away from it, it's still, for most of us, a huge part of our lives. We often went to school, went to institute, served missions, were married under the auspice of the church. Even if you were to leave it and go find a completely new family, that's still huge pieces of your life that are tangled with church. I don't mean to imply that in necessarily a bad way. It's just, it's going to affect everything we do, that you can come on this little meaningless podcast and say things about the church and unfortunately have friendships impacted that should have been years old and stronger than this. And that's an unfortunate side effect.
Well, and some of us, I'm speaking of me personally, I don't necessarily want to leave the church. I went through a period where I did want to leave and I seriously considered leaving, but I'm no longer in that place. I'm finding myself getting more and more comfortable with my place in the church. At times I don't. I'll admit that. There's a lot of times when I want to throw up the bird and say F y'all and leave. But there are a lot of times when I find myself happy and, you know, with my place in the church. So, you know, it's not that I want to, you know, I feel like I'm trapped. Sometimes I do feel that way. But other times I enjoy it because as I find out, as I sit down and I'm talking to several members of my ward or other friends that are members of the church, my opinions actually line up more like 80 to 90% when I talk to them one-on-one. And when I tell them some of my, you know, my personal opinions, they actually agree. I mean, obviously Mike is the exception, but in my little circle, my views aren't that crazy.
You know, Tom, I agree with you, and I'm saying that I'm becoming more and more comfortable with my Mormon identity. Also, I not coming any closer to believing that the church is true. I've basically rejected all sort of metaphysical, you know, mystic sort of beliefs. I don't believe in any of that stuff, which of course that's what kills Mormonism for me. But I'm comfortable with my Mormon identity and with my Mormon heritage. I wish I had better relationships with my local ward and I wish I could engage the church in a more productive and healthy way than oftentimes I do. So I understand completely where you're coming from. I've never felt like I needed to resign the church, nor have I ever wanted to. Because I'm thoroughly a Mormon, and that's something the church can't take away from me.
John, if you resign, you're still Mormon.
that's probably true. But you know, I don't want to. I don't have any desire to. So I understand where you're coming from, Tom. And I've said this before, but if this was like, if the program we record, if we were Catholics, this would probably be aired on Catholic radio. It's unfortunately in Mormon culture that we tend to be a little polemic, and people see this as an anti-broadcast. But I think in most Protestant religions, even Catholic religions, this kind of stuff that you're saying, Tom, would be embraced and not shunned. And it's unfortunate that it happens.
Yeah, in lots of different religious communities as well. I just think that for me, being on this podcast, why I cherish it so much is because I meet people who I would have never met, being encompassed in the church, still in that mode of avoid anything that doesn't, you know, come out of Deseret Book kind of thing. I think it's a shame, and I really do feel this way. It's a shame that the church members don't, embrace those that have either left the church or thinking about leaving the church or don't want anything to do with the church because they're, you know, it's like with John and I, all you guys and everybody else that I emailed with and stuff like that. These are people that are extremely intelligent and brilliant and have a lot to add and very wise and a lot of them are even spiritual and can help you on your journey. It's just a shame that you would have never met these people, you know, if you would have stuck, you know, stayed in that mindset where I'm not going to talk to them because they're an ex-Mormon or they're going to destroy my testimony. It's so much better to just embrace, you know, that one thing that we all have in common, the Mormon faith, and we can all just grow from each other and talk about experiences and stuff like that. And it's just too bad that too many closed-minded people on both sides, ex-Mormon and the TVMs, that if we can just kind of break those barriers and I think that would be better for all of us, I think.
Oh, Tom, I know that things that you say are true.
No, I
agree with you. I think that that's been one of the biggest reasons for me to stick around is just the weekly or every other week ability to get together and really bring up some issues and some topics and just share experiences. You know, a lot of times I don't have a lot to contribute or say, even though I try. It's just the listening and it's the participating and it's the trying to contribute and feel like there's a group of people all going to a common goal, which is to just try and keep the dialogue going so that someday groups like this and podcasts like this would be aired and welcomed on Mormon Radio or whatever it's called. I mean, I think the day of that may be coming. It's a long way, probably not in our lifetimes, but to be part of the genesis of the start of that and the dialogue that maintains and continues is just fascinating. I think it's a blast. That's what keeps me on it.
Can I go to your question about the feedback? We've gotten a few feedback messages. John shared one recently from someone who claims that our podcast has maybe saved his marriage. And there have been others who have claimed similar things. And I think that's been interesting to see how our podcast actually affects people's lives and their decision making and hopefully helps them in those things by giving them different points of view and different ways of looking at things and ways of coping with their dissonance. And
I agree. That's probably one of the biggest things. I mean, there are two different topics that we seem to go into fairly regular. We go into either a subject matter like a historical event or a doctrine or a policy or something like that. So that's one aspect, and I think there are a lot of our viewers and a lot of our listeners like to hear those types of things. But then there's the personal stories, either of a couple or of a family or of an individual. And I think every time we do something like that, we have the potential to influence somebody's life. And those are awesome stories to hear when we get that kind of feedback. I love those.
Yeah, I do get a letter like that about every couple weeks. And I don't think I've ever gotten a letter that says, you know, this podcast has ruined my life. I was happy before I discovered you and now everything's over. But I have gotten several that have said things like, you know, I'm struggling. I felt so alone, but you know, this has given me something to cling to. This gives me hope. You like the one Zilpha just referred to, this might have saved my marriage because I was about to go, you know, announce that I can't cope with the church anymore, blah, 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 but now I can. To me, if there's any service I want to provide, I think I've mentioned this before, but when I was struggling, as a member, I felt so lost in the woods. I felt so alone. I felt there was nobody, I could talk to.
Even though we had each other.
Well, and we talked, but even then we were increasingly cut off emotionally from the ward and our family, because if you bring up a lot of these concerns, there's nothing, nobody you can talk to. And so much of what's out there on the internet is very caustic and very hard to stomach.
Either that or very fluffy.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully if there's any service we provide, it's that sort of, there's something else out there. There's other people who are like you.
Yeah, and going to that, for me, being in the podcast, one of the most difficult things that I had to go through was making myself more vulnerable. And I know, John, you know this, but because I think it was my interview was the first one that you started with the panelists where you did a personal interview. And that was a difficult thing for me to want to do that. My wife even told me that, like, I don't know if that's such a good idea, you know, making yourself that vulnerable. Because I knew that if I was going to do it, I wanted to, you know, actually open myself up and be genuine. And that to me makes all the difference, at least as a listener. Like when I listened to your interview, Zilpha,
mm-hmm.
you know, it I imagine it takes a lot to open yourself up like that. But for a listener like me, you know, I genuinely appreciated that because you want to hear those personal stories. And me and John were talking that the Zilpha interview actually caused one of our guests to think about not coming on the show. And, they said, well, there's this interview with Zilpha leaving the church and stuff like that. And both me and John are like, well, you should listen to it because it's actually not anti at all. It's just her opening herself up. And I think that to me, it's been one of the most touching things about the podcast, the personal interviews that we've all had, but it's also been one of the most difficult for me anyway.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Any other last minute thoughts? We've kind of had a good discussion here. I hope that it hasn't been too self-indulgent.
I could interject something real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Even though I hadn't really considered this a possibility when I started to participate, I've been very pleased with the people I've been able to become acquainted with. Isn't that sort of strange about life that's usually what makes you happy is the people around you and the new people that you meet and the relationships and all these kinds of things. You know, I didn't even really give that much of a thought. I think it was several months ago when I found out there was a one of our listeners who lived over here in Norway as well. And I was actually able to meet him and eat kebabs with him. You know, shout out to Rich. And, you know, we just keep tabs on each other. And, you know, believe it or not, it's really, really nice to have a friend that's also not related to the podcast that came through the podcast. And, you know, there's been several others like that, but it's really, you know, frankly, unexpected for me that like you said before, the service is sort of providing perhaps an outlet, camaraderie or something like that. And it's there, you know, it comes through.
Yeah. Zilpha and I have stayed since we lived in Utah, sort of involved in the post-Mormon community. And it's not so much anymore has anything to do with converting people or whatever, but you know, Mormons are my family and ex-Mormons are my family too. And the same social safety net that people talk about in the church, the people willing to help them move or spend time together or just, you know, be a friendly ear is provided for by that family that we all are, be they people who've left the church or not. And, I think that's just reflected in the podcast. I think Mormons are good people, whether or not they think Mormonism is true or they think that the church is a fraud, whatever, they're good people. That leads us to another good one. So who's coming out? Which of you guys are coming out, to the reception in Utah in August? Zilpha and I will be there.
Yeah, you know, I'll be there.
I think, Jim's going to try to make it out, and I think so is Bridget.
Mike, don't forget Mike.
Oh, yeah, and Mike will be there.
What about Glenn?
Glenn says he's going to try to be there. Yeah.
Glenn's going to try to be there also. I don't know. It's a hard thing to get out to, but the reception's not about the podcast at all. It's about being able to meet other people who've been in the same sort of position you have. And to anybody listening out there, I mean, don't let the $5 ticket price get in the way of coming if that's what it's going to be. But you do need to reserve your ticket because we have to let the caterer know how many people are going to be there.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's been another fun talk. I'm has been expressed. I think my life has been significantly enriched by my interaction with all of you and with all the people out there who I've been able to communicate with, who listen to the podcast, and hopefully we've provided some value somewhere in somebody's life.
Yeah, even if it's entertainment, right? Make some people laugh out there. That'd be good too.
Amen.
All right. Well, as always, you can reach us at on the website at mormonexpression.com. You can send us an email at mail@mormonexpression.com, or you can call us. The number is 801-906-6722.